Today we begin a four-week series called The Faith Effect, which is a resource that's been put together by World Vision here in Melbourne. And I want to thank one of the members of St Alfred's, Sue Bazzana, who works for World Vision and has been heavily involved in the production and promotion of this resource. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the issues that are raised by this series, largely to do with global poverty and social injustice. In other words, how do we put our faith into effect in a world which has many problems? On Sundays, we will read the Bible, as we've just done, and I'll speak, and I will intermingle my preaching with some small clips from the DVD series so that you get the insights of some of the guest academics, guest leaders that are on the DVD, people like Tom Wright, whom you'll see later today, and Tim Costello, the head of World Vision, but others that may not be so well known to all of you but are highly respected, like Joel Edwards and René Padilla-Borscht. Also, during this coming month, I'll be running a four-week seminar on Tuesday nights for anyone who'd like to come and discuss these issues further. I'm aware that as we raise these issues, one of the emotional responses is likely to be, oh, it's all too hard, it's such a big world, there are so many needs, I haven't got a clue where to even start. Or it may be that the response will be, I've seen all these pictures before, I'm just not interested, I've got enough on my plate. So I think just to have time to talk and pray and reflect will be important. And so if you'd like to come on a Tuesday, if you're available, either you can come as an individual or you might like to come as a group, then you're welcome. You don't have to come for all four. If you'd like to just come for one, that's okay. I'm also very pleased to say that I'll be assisted by another member of St Alfred's, Matthew Morey. Matthew is the National Director of TIER Australia. TIER is an aid agency with a very strong Christian background, and Matthew has worked for many years prior to coming to Australia to take up that role in areas of the world working with the poor and the marginalised. So Matthew will bring a lot of practical experience to these seminars. Just as a practical matter, if you'd like to join us, please let me know so that we can hopefully organise a participant's manual for you, and we just know to put out enough chairs. Let me pray then as we turn to today's topic. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created this world of ours, and we're so sorry as we look at the world and see how broken it is and how fragile life is for so many people. We thank you that you've given us so much here, and I pray for each of us that over the next month you would show us how to respond with care and compassion towards others. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's title is On Earth as in Heaven? And we're going to think a little bit about God's kingdom from that sort of phrase from the Lord's Prayer that we pray God's kingdom come, God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we'll be thinking about. We're going to watch the first clip now, and we're hoping the technology will work. So the kingdom of God is a phrase that you'll hear mentioned many times, and it's important to first of all think, what do we mean by the kingdom of God? It's not a place. It's not like going to the kingdom of Bhutan or the kingdom of Tonga. Kingdom of God is a phrase used in the New Testament to describe God's rule in the world. God made the world and he rules the world as its creator and king. But we know the world rebels against God. God the Father therefore sent his Son and gave him authority to rule over the earth and to make God's rule more apparent and to call human beings to come and live under that rule, which is good and beneficial for all people, because Jesus reminds us what it was supposed to be like in the beginning. Now, if we want to be in God's kingdom, then what we have to do first and foremost is we have to put our faith in Jesus. Those of you who are members of St. Alfred's know we've been looking at that in John's Gospel. We have to put our faith in Jesus the Son. That's the first thing. And then live it out. Live out the way that Jesus taught us to live. And if we want to know what it's like to live in God's kingdom and under God's rule, we simply have to look at what Jesus did. That's what it's like when God rules, when God's kingdom has come. It looks like what Jesus did. And when Jesus came among us, God's kingdom broke into our world in a new way. And at the outset of Mark's gospel, for example, Jesus says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." Now, the kingdom of God is near because Jesus has come. The King of the kingdom has come and is expressing and showing and embodying God's rule in his very being. And he says, "Now repent and believe in me, the King of the kingdom." And what Jesus does before he's crucified then is to show us what it's like to live under God's rule, in God's kingdom, if you like. Now, it's important to understand that I think there are at least three dimensions to God's the breaking in of God's kingdom. Jesus shows us this, and here are the three: in word, in spirit, and in deed, or in action. Now, in terms of the word, when Jesus comes as the king and the kingdom of God breaks in terms of the word, what Jesus does is he proclaims the gospel. He says things. He teaches the truth about God and about human beings. He explains the scriptures, the Old Testament, that these people have already had for many years. In terms of the spirit, what you see Jesus do is he heals people, he forgives sin, he drives out demons, he raises the dead. He does all sorts of signs and miraculous wonders by the power of the Spirit. He's able to speak to people's hearts, to know what they're thinking, to know what they need, and to unlock their inner secrets and draw them to faith. In terms of the deeds of the kingdom or action, he shows people by what he does what God's love looks like. He actually demonstrates that in how he responds to people. He brings outcasts back into community. Think of a woman who's been bleeding for years and years and years, who's been outcast. Think of lepers who are brought back. Think of a Samaritan woman who no Jew would ever talk to. He actually brings all these people back into community. It's practical. He confronts the power brokers over their injustice and lack of compassion, particularly the Pharisees. Now, at St. Alfred's, we try to mirror that. We try to give weight to all three dimensions of this kingdom. So, for example, we take seriously the word. We take seriously the teaching of the Bible, the reflecting theologically, the encouragement to use your mind to ask questions, to think about difficult issues of the day. We don't shy away from the complexities of the world, and we invite people, in fact, encourage you to use your God-given intelligence. But by doing that, we encourage you to reflect first and foremost on the Bible. Now, we take seriously the Spirit. So hence, we pray for one another. We pray for healing. We encourage the expression of spiritual gifts. We rejoice in worship. And we are not frightened to pray for miracles. We take seriously the fact that there is a spiritual realm. There is darkness. And we need all the spiritual power at our disposal from God's Spirit to respond to that darkness. And we take seriously the deeds of the kingdom, putting our faith into effect, working for good and helping practically, advocating for justice and showing love and compassion, whether it's here in the suburbs of Melbourne or whether it's somewhere further afield in parts of our needy world. And you can see that Connect 50 is an expression of that. It comes out of that sort of theological outworking, starting point. Now, as we think about global poverty, we will need to reflect on God's word and pray for God's Spirit to guide us and then put our faith into effect. All three of these dimensions of God's kingdom will be in play here. It would be easy to say that responding to poverty is more the deeds part of the kingdom of kingdom life, just doing the stuff. But it's tricky there because sometimes people can rush off and do things that are compassionate and caring, but they have no Christian basis at all, necessarily. You know, it might not necessarily be prompted, their good actions, by any belief in the Lord Jesus. So the Christian response comes out of a faith in Jesus and is informed by both word and spirit. Now, if we are bold enough to pray, God's kingdom come, God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, if we're bold enough to pray that, we must realize that part of the answer to that prayer might in fact be ourselves. If you dare to pray that prayer, you're opening yourself up to the chance that you will be the answer to that prayer, not somebody else. So I warn you to be careful praying that prayer. I'll invite you to pray it at the end of this sermon, by the way. Now, I hesitate to give you statistics on world poverty because the numbers can be overwhelming, but here are three figures just to give a little bit of context for what we're talking about. According to the World Bank, 3 billion people, or 40% of the world, live on less than $2.50 per day. It actually says $2.50 US per day, but I think we can just say $2.50. Life expectancy in Australia is 82 years, in Papua New Guinea it's 62 years, and in Zimbabwe it's 38 years. If you keep food in your fridge, or if you keep your food in a fridge, your clothes in a wardrobe, if you have a roof over your head and have a bed to sleep in, you are richer than 75% of the entire world population. Now, most of us in Melbourne would fall into that category. And in the face of such numbers, it's easy to be overwhelmed and paralysed. But what I'm going to be praying over the next month is that you're not overwhelmed and paralysed, but that through God's Spirit, it may be that you're stirred to respond in one way, just one particular thing that you can do. You can't solve the problems of world poverty. I can't solve those. But it may be that just God, by His Spirit, as you reflect on these issues, will open your heart in one direction, in just one aspect that you haven't even thought about yet. And there are many ways that people at St. Alfred's are already involved in responding, so it's not as if we're starting from scratch. But it may be that God directs you to one act of justice or one change in your lifestyle or to commit to supporting one organisation. The story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 is a great encouragement to us. Zacchaeus meets Jesus and his life is transformed. Zacchaeus is converted. It says salvation came to his house. He is one of the lost that Jesus came to seek and save. He's not only converted in a sense of personal commitment, personal faith, but his values are changed and he realises immediately that if he's going to live under God's rule in God's kingdom, then he needs to make some changes in his life. Because of his particular role as a tax collector, a chief tax collector at that, he had had access to power and money and he'd abused that. So when he's converted, the thing that the Spirit touches in his heart is, you've got to sort those areas out in your life. Those are the values that you need to bring into alignment with the kingdom. So he says to Jesus, immediately, I'm going to give back everything that I have taken that wasn't right. I'm going to repay people and I'm going to help the poor and give generously. So not only is Zacchaeus' conversion spiritual, it actually works out in a practical and ethical way. He now has a new set of values. He now wants to help the poor and give generously, whereas before it was all about himself. Now, that may not be your area, but it shows you that conversion, as Tim Costello said, is not just to get a ticket to the great U2 concert in the sky. Conversion involves our whole of life and our whole approach to the world. Jesus has spoken God's word to Zacchaeus. There's the word. The Spirit has convicted Zacchaeus and opened his heart, and then Zacchaeus puts his faith into action and takes responsibility. Now, he's only one person like you and me, and he doesn't solve the world's poverty issues. He gives money away, but 2,000 years later, we still know there are people who are impoverished. But what he does do is he makes the connection between his faith and the people around him, and he realizes that as a Christian he has a duty to be just and fair, and he looks for practical ways to put his faith into action. Now I'm going to show you a second clip. This is Bishop Tom Wright reflecting on particularly on where the Bible is going in the story coming to Revelation with the new heaven and the new earth and God living with his people. He'll also be reflecting on the idea of love, a Christian virtue, and you'll hear him reflecting on that last reading that we've heard. So, Ian, if we can have the second clip. This clip goes for about 5 minutes. So Tom Wright points us forward to the end of the Bible story in Revelation 21, and I like his description of Christians as heaven and earth people, somewhere where heaven and earth join together. We live on earth with all its problems, but as we show love and compassion, we're a little glimmer, a little reflection. You'd like Tom's sort of angled mirror image, a little reflection of God's love for this world. And that's what it's like to live in God's kingdom. So through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that God's kingdom has already broken into the world. He is our king and we are servants of the king. As Tom said, God's new creation has begun and we get to be part of it here and now. So as we go through these next 4 weeks, my prayer is that you will know how to respond, that God by his Spirit and through his Word will show you what to do and how to do it. It may be that you're already busily involved in serving in some capacity or giving or just helping in some way, and that's enough. This will just reaffirm what you're doing. But it may be that you've never quite seen the connections between coming here on a Sunday and reading your Bible and the big connections then with the world. Maybe you're still sort of struggling to know how to draw those connections. So hopefully this series will help you think about those. I pray, as I said, that you won't be overwhelmed or paralyzed. And if you find yourself troubled, please do come and talk after the services or come on Tuesdays and keep the discussions going. I'm looking forward to this coming month to see how God speaks to me and how God speaks to us and where he takes us. As I said, there's lots of good stuff already happening in St. Alfred's, and this may just give further impetus to some of those activities. Now, I'd like to invite you, if you would be so bold, as to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. If you don't feel you can do that because I've warned you, then keep quiet. Together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.